Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during a recent business luncheon held on the university campus. Our speaker is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Taylor, Dr. Wood will bring a message titled, Sunday, Our Sabbath. The text is from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11.
Our speaker today is Dr. Bob Wood. And Dr. Wood, I've known him as a preacher, man that I work with and admire very much. But in his background, he's also a businessman. So you business people, you know, he can probably say I've been there and done that. And so certainly can relate to many of your experiences. But today, and we're talking about the times, and these are different times, and he's going to, I think, talk to us about some of the things occurring in our times and from the Scripture. So, Dr. Wood.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor. I appreciate that introduction for a lot of reasons. Somebody asked me, are you nervous about this luncheon? Are you nervous when you go to occasions like that? I said, the only thing I'm nervous about is Dr. Taylor introducing me. Because I never quite know what he's going to say. He did a real good job today, and I'm proud of him. So he will continue to be our dean in that department. And I'm really glad to have an opportunity to share some really simple thoughts with you out of God's Word for the time we have together today. I want to read you a couple of verses out of Exodus chapter 20. I'll be reading verse 8 through verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thine, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them. And then he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This, of course, you will recognize immediately as the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's speaking about setting aside the Sabbath day to worship our God. And this part of the Ten Commandments is what we call the moral law and not the ceremonial law. The Ten Commandments are divided into two divisions. The ceremonial law consists of certain rituals we do as God's people to remind ourselves and those that know us that we are serving God. But the moral laws are laws that God intends for us to keep for our moral and ethical well-being. And His challenge to us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is the moral law. It's not something we do as a ritual. It is something we do as a condition of our relationship with God. So therefore, it's moral in its content. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This law was written by the hand of God Himself on the tablets that He gave to Moses. And I believe it's the intention of God to engrave this law and these other laws into our hearts. It's very interesting to me that people say Ten Commandments are Old Testament, Old Testament's passed away, we're living in a New Testament age, and so we just adhere to the New Testament. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Old and the New Testament is one book. When God told the Levites to make the silver trumpets, two silver trumpets to summon His people and to give them seven different messages, He said, be sure that you make these two trumpets out of one piece of silver, for they're one, an extension one of the other. And Old and New Testament are both germane to us today. Though there have been some changes in God's methodology, there has been no changes in the validity of the Word, and particularly no changes in the validity of the Ten Commandments. For what we see in the New Testament is that every one of these commandments has been reinforced. And then when he says to us in this passage of Scripture, remember the Sabbath, he says that because we're apt to forget. He is saying, may I remind you to constantly keep on your mind that I've given you an instruction to have a special day for a special purpose. Well, I don't think it's hard for us to look around today and not know that we forgot. I think if you go to the mall on Sunday or you ride around town and see what's happening, maybe we need reminding again about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. In verse 10, the Lord says, thou shalt not do any work, yourself, nor your son, nor your daughters, nor your servants, nor your beast of burden, nor a visitor in your house. Boy, what an all-encompassing commandment. A law. Literally a law. And the Hebrew word for law means to direct or to point out something. So God said, I want to point out something to you. I am asking you to set aside a day for your relationship with me. I want that to be remembered through all generations and for the future. This commandment was made 3,500 years ago. It's still in effect today. It's further interesting that we had a vote in South Carolina in 1992 concerning the blue laws. And the overwhelming majority of the people here in this state, of course, it's in the South and the Bible Belt, praise God, overwhelming majority said, let's reinstate, let's keep in force the blue laws that have to do with what we do on God's Day. Isn't that amazing that a law that was made 3,500 years ago by God, given to us as an instruction for our spiritual well-being, that people who have moved pretty far from God still have this tinge of conscience about some responsibility to this biblical law, this biblical commandment, that the majority would say, let's reinstate these blue laws. Now, as Satan always does, after 3,500 years of trying to do away with this commandment, he has not been successful. He wins some battles, but he hadn't won the war yet. Right here in our area, the law that kept people from selling liquor on Sunday, the city voted to set that law aside. So our city of Greenville sells mixed drinks, alcoholic beverages, on Sunday. But our county does not. Well, Satan's got a toll. You say, well, what does that mean to us? Well, I think we'll live in the county. Because it tends to indicate that the people in the county are a little closer to what's really going on than maybe some of the rest of us. But the fact of the matter is, Satan has made another inroad after 3,500 years right in our own city by taking some of the honor of the Lord out of that day. Personally, I don't think we ought to sell alcoholic beverages any day, but particularly on the Lord's Day. Well, it's interesting that even in this corrupt civilization, we're still talking about Sunday, our Sabbath. And that's the title I've given the message today, Sunday, our Sabbath, the response to the command. God is simply saying to us, set aside a day from your work and from your normal routine, set aside a day to fellowship with me, to remember me, to remember your relationship with me. Don't be encumbered on that day. If you don't have that day, you'll lose your remembrance of God and the power of God and the purpose and reason for God to lead His people and to challenge His people. 6 days shalt thou work, he says. In Genesis 2, 1 and 3, God gives us an example because God Himself rested on the seventh day. He set aside that day. Now, if this is something that God did for himself, it was done for our example. And you know, it's really not very important to our society how things have changed. When I first got married, my wife had what I thought was kind of a strange practice. She would start getting ready for church on Saturday night. And I'd say, you know, get me up 30 minutes before church in the morning. I'll take care of all that. But her grandmother and her family said, now, Sunday's the Lord's Day. We don't wash clothes. We don't iron clothes. We go to the Lord's house and we serve the Lord. And she would set out her clothes for the next day on Saturday. And she would not do any of that kind of work on that day. And I thought that's very interesting. Set aside a day from work. And then set aside the day for worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The word holy means to totally consecrate that day to God. Make it a day of worship. It's not a day of just rest. It's a day of worship. Worship is a really interesting word, and I won't spend too much time elaborating on it, but the word literally comes from two old English words, worship. And the simple meaning of it is that worship is the act of ascribing to a person their proper worth. We set aside a day to show as Christians what we feel like it's worth to fellowship with our God. That's pretty interesting. And if we don't set that day aside, we are saying he's not even important enough for us to give him 1/7 of our week, or to concentrate on him 1/7 of our week. Keep it holy. Simply saying, keep it totally consecrated to the Lord. Young people come here to school from all over the world, every state in the United States, over 40 foreign countries. And we have no athletic events. None of the gyms are open. The young people can't be on the athletic field. We have some regulations affecting the Sabbath day. We have a worship service here. And many, many young people go to the local churches and work and their worship. But over and over again, parents say to us, well, why can't the kids play basketball? Why can't they use the gym? Why can't they use the athletic fields? Now, these are many times Christian parents who are sending their young people to a Christian school, but have no recollection or understanding of what the Sabbath day is all about and our relationship to our God. And maintaining that relationship to our God. Keep it holy. It's good for us to rest and reflect on the things of the Lord. How strongly did God feel about this special day in the Old Testament? Jeremiah 17:27. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem and shall not be quenched. You know what brought that statement from the prophet Jeremiah to the people of God from God? You have set aside your non-work days as vacation days, as time to travel. You're all busy. You're going places and doing things and having fun. God says, let me remind you that this is not the intent of this Sabbath day. If I have to, he said, I can just build a large fire in each of the gates that come in and out of the cities, and that would kind of put an end to this. I think that's a very interesting statement. What would God have to do to cause us to remember the Sabbath day? Heard an interesting story on a news broadcast the other night about how the churches in America are beginning to fill up since 9/11. You just knock down the two tallest buildings in the world and let everybody watch it on television, and the churches start filling up. See? I'm not saying God arranged that, but I am saying God allowed that, and that we ought to take special note of that. There is a reason that God allowed that to happen in this nation. Maybe to wake us up. Maybe to turn us back to Him. Set aside a day for worship. But wait a minute. The Sabbath day was the last day of the week. The Sabbath day was Saturday. Oh boy, do I get that argument a lot. A matter of fact, there are Protestant Christians who still practice their Sabbath on Saturday. And they're sincere about it. And we say our Sabbath day is Sunday. That's why I entitled the message, Sunday, Our Sabbath. Now, why is this? Remember, this commandment is not part of the ceremonial law. This is not something we do just as a ritual. This is something we do as a relationship with God, a moral relationship. And so it's not ever done away with. But there was a change of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. The reason for the change. The key here is not whether it's Saturday or Sunday, but that you set aside a day for the Lord, first of all. You do set aside. And there's no argument about that. So people that are constantly bringing up the Sabbath in the Bible is on Saturday are just really saying, I don't want to set aside any day. I just want to ignore this law. But listen to this. God established the Sabbath day on the last day of His work, of creation. The Old Testament Sabbath day is a memorial day to God's work of creation. Let that soak in for just a minute. A memorial to creation. Psalms 8, verse 3 and 4. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. Isaiah 45, 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all of their host have I commanded. Boy, creation was a marvelous act. Creation of the physical universe shows us the credentials of God. Henry W. Morris used to say, anybody who can create a universe can run this society. You go create your universe, and you have the right to run it on the basis of your creation. You can make the rules for it. And let it go the way you want it to go. A memorial to the creative power of God's hands. But what about Sunday, our Sabbath? It too is a memorial. You see, it's a memorial to the miracle of conversion. It's a memorial to the work of Jesus Christ on this earth. Mark 2:28 says, therefore the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Psalm 18:24 says, this is the day which the Lord has made. It's called the Lord's Day in the New Testament in Revelation 1:10. The Apostle John said, on Sunday, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I turned and saw one like unto the Son of God, and his hair was white as wool, his eyes as a flaming fire. He was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That great revelation of the future was given to John on the first day of the week, representing God saving man through Jesus Christ. I think this is really interesting. God himself, who created the universe, and this is so magnificent and so large, I can't find the words to describe it to you. I mean, we've counted planets, and we know there are more than 28 octillion planets, and they move in such precise order, we set our watches by them, and there are planets out there that blow our minds. There's a planet called Epsilon Argae that's so large, if we hollowed it out and dropped one Earth in it every second, it would take 888 million years to fill it. That's a pretty big deal. But God says, but there is a bigger deal than even creation. There is something more important than this expansive universe which I have created with my hands. It's the work of the heart of my Son in the conversion of the souls of men. That's worth setting aside a day for. That's worth us focusing on and remembering and making important to us. Sunday's the day of Christ's resurrection. John chapter 20, verse 19. He met his disciples on the first day of the week. John chapter 20, verse 26. Mark 16, 2. Mark 16, 9. Luke 24, 1. All tell us that the resurrection of Christ was on the first day of the week. And they established a day of worship for the act of conversion that was completed by Christ in his resurrection from the dead. On the first day of the week, in Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples came together with Paul to break bread, and Paul preached. Offerings in the New Testament were taken the first day of the week, Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16, 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered you, your treasures. The first century New Testament church, at Christ's bidding, set the first day of the week as the Sabbath. Sunday as a memorial to Christ's resurrection and his completed work of redemption. Pretty interesting. And it's the foundation of redemption. I think this is a marvelous thought. This great expansive universe, this overwhelming universe, is the work of God's hand. But our salvation is the work of God's heart. That's something we should remember. That is a more marvelous work than creation. Only God could say that. You just think if we had the power to create anything like a universe. Well, here's why the change took place. The Old Testament Sabbath was a memorial to God's work of creation in which he gave us ourselves. He created man. But the New Testament Sunday is set aside as a memorial of our redemption, a time which he gave us himself. What a vast difference. What an overwhelming thought. What an important part of our life. By creation, and I found this paragraph I'm going to read you, written in 1541. By an old preacher named Thomas Watson. Here's what he said. By creation, we have physical life in Adam. In redemption, we have eternal life in Christ. In creation, we have a right to an earthly home. But in redemption, we have a right to a heavenly kingdom. Christ might well change the Sabbath of the first day of the week to remind us of his resurrection and our redemption, which in God's eyes is a work far more glorious than even the work of creation. What an overwhelming thought. Our responsibility to this commandment today, be obedient to it. It's one of God's laws. It's something he's pointed out to us. It's something he has challenged us to remember. Be observant of it. Rejoice. The Lord says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was glad in that day. All through the Bible, Hebrews 11:13 talks of Abraham dying in faith, not having received the promise, but looking to the day of the Lord. Read the Word. Read the Bible. John 17:17. In the Lord's Prayer of Intercession, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is thy truth." We ought to be in the Bible every day. But on the Sabbath day, we ought to absorb it. We ought to hear it preached. Go somewhere and hear God's man deliver the truth of God's word under the power of God's Spirit. It will change our lives and it'll keep us right. John chapter 15, verse 3, "Now you're clean through the words which I've spoken unto you," God says. And then he says, "Rest from the world. Take a sabbatical from all the problems and pressures of this world and meditate on God's creation and Christ's conversion. Take a rest and put your mind on what God did in creation and what Christ did in conversion. That'll be a blessed day. That'll be an exciting and a happy time. Look forward to preaching. Give heed to the word. But also, use common sense." I close with this thought. The scripture tells us that the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life. God intends for us to have good sense and to be balanced and to use common sense. Christ was criticized because he harvested food for him and his disciples on the Sabbath. Well, I'll tell you, there'd be a lot of unhappy parents if we didn't feed these 6,000 kids on Sunday. They got to eat. You got to use common sense. Christ did. And he didn't consider that breaking the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. Acts of mercy, going out to help other people, that's certainly part of the Lord's day. Christ even said, if your ox falls into the ditch on the Sabbath, you don't have to leave him there the next day. Get him out. There are times when you have to do certain things. Now, I probably didn't need to end with this warning because getting you to do the first part's the hard thing. But then, Satan just wants us in the extremes. He just wants us to ignore the Sabbath or to go to seed on the right side of the Sabbath and get too far afield and make restrictions God didn't even make for us. So let's use common sense. But let's remember Sunday, our Sabbath. I see an interesting chain of events here. Our great-grandfathers called Sunday the Holy Sabbath. Our grandfathers called it the Sabbath. Our fathers called it Sunday. We call it the weekend. It's gone too far. It's time to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. John Newton prayed this prayer as he stood in his pulpit on Sunday. "Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in His courts today. Day of all the week the best, for it's God's emblem of our eternal rest." Father, thank you for your book and its clear instructions. Help us to heed them in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.